Hulu Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. Anita Marks with the one and only Robin Oben. What is up?
I'm doing good.
Man, you're doing well. The Giants are doing well. Yeah. Giants fans have to be really excited. We welcome you in. We're with you for the next hour, spending really your lunch hour with us, in a sense, right?
Yeah, and you know, the Giants haven't been 2-2 since 500. They haven't been 500 since 2012 season. You
really?
Imagine that? Yeah.
This early on, after 4 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, well, after 4 weeks, I don't think they've been. Well, they're always. I don't know. Let me not get to misrepresenting the stats,
okay.
But I'm not a stats guy. But it's been a long time.
It's
since
been a long
the Giants
time.
Were at this
and
point.
Who knew?
Yeah.
I mean, based on what we saw in the preseason, so it's an exciting time for Giants fans. Let's break it down for you, as always. How do you get in on the show? Well, you call us up. 201-939-4513 is the phone number, 201-939-4513. Also, I have my computer. I will be monitoring Twitter throughout the entire show. Make sure you include that hashtag Giants Chat, and I will share your questions and comments with Roman and, of course, our viewing audience throughout the next hour. So, as I said, Giants, they absolutely destroy Washington. They had 10 days off, Roman. Talk about what that means to a team. I know that, you know, there's so much negativity in regard to players and teams not wanting to play on Thursday night. It's a short work week. No time to get healthy. No time to really prepare for the next opponent. But the positive is you get 10 days before your next game.
Yeah, and I think if you can manage that situation well, if you can win that game, you know, 2 games in 5 days, which they won both those games, an 0-2 team that won two games in 5 days. Now they have to go in that little short rest period with confidence. So when you come back to practice Monday morning, you've had some rest. You have a chance to work on the next opponent. You're doing some things well that you put on tape finally after a rough 0-2 start. Now the teams that don't manage it well, maybe there's an injury, maybe there's other issues, and then you just don't ever recover from that. So short trip, divisional opponent, they came out on top. Played great last week. You know, Kirk Cousins the week before hadn't even gotten touched and threw 48 times, 400 yards, hadn't gotten touched. This game, he's throwing turnovers. I mean, falling in the lap of some of the Giants defenders. Seeing Mathias Kiwanuka, I mean, that first sack, he looked like a guy who ran a 4.3 40, like going around the corner. I mean, Mathias Kiwanuka, the speed rusher. So I was excited to see some of the things they did well in that game. But again, they managed it well. They're 2-2. So now I think you have to talk about and expectations now of what the Giants could do, because the schedule does not get any easier. This is the confidence that they need going into this type of schedule, this part of the season.
I mean, let's talk about that for a second, because what I'm hearing back from a lot of the Giants players, Beeson being one of them, is the confidence level, the swagger that this team has now heading into week 5. Again, 201-939-4513. I know that's important, but when you go in that locker room and you feel the essence and the vibe in that locker room and the confidence in that locker room, something I haven't felt it all season.
Yeah, and it goes back to the old notion that there's two guys, right? The guy who thinks he can get it done and the guy who can't. They're both right. If you believe you can do it, if you believe in each other, you know, the press conference, the post-game speech to Coach Coughlin after that Houston game, that this organization, this franchise, we stick together, we don't point fingers. I mean, that's been a big mantra of this team. So that when you come out of that dugout, if you will, that slump, and you're playing well, you're running the ball well, you're doing well offensively, you've got this patchwork line that you didn't know what the starting combination was going to be when the season started. Now, these guys are starting to gel and play together. So when everything starts to work, that adds to your confidence 100%. And I've been in that position where you know, 1-3, you lose, and you get on a little winning streak. Then now you're at 500. Now you fight, you go on a 5-game streak. I mean, schedule or not, this team is capable, if they do well Sunday at home against a beatable opponent. I hate to use that term. Everybody's beatable. They do well Sunday. They have a chance to really start to cement themselves and be on that +2, +3, +4 side of 500.
Roman Oben, Anita Marks, you're listening to Big Blue Kickoff Live. You're watching Big Blue Kickoff Live, for those that are in Giants.com. 201-939-4513 is the phone number, as Roman alluded to. Tough part of the schedule. Atlanta here at home, at MetLife Stadium, and then they hit the road to division rival opponents at Philadelphia and then at Dallas. Dallas has been a huge, huge surprise, at least for me. Their offensive line is just ridiculous. Let's start with our calls. Roman, we kick it off in Panama City. Rocky, welcome to the program. What you got for us?
Good morning, Anita.
Good morning.
What's up, Roman? Finally get to talk to Roman Giant.
Hey, Rocky, how you doing?
I'm wonderful. I wanted to touch on that one thing about, like, Hurst playing the Sam. What happened to Pasinger? I mean, he was a starter last year, and now it seems like he's found his way in the doghouse almost. I was wondering about how, the lack of snaps with him.
Yeah, you know, that's been a question from a lot of people, and thank you for that question, Rocky, is what happened to Mark to Herzlick? And I mean, sorry, what happened to Spencer Paysinger? I'm going to ask some guys or some coaches or to find out. I think to start off, I think they play two different positions. Herzlick plays a Sam, and I think Paysinger is the Will, so he backs up Williams. He backs up Jaquan Williams.
Jaquan Williams?
I'm sorry, so... I think in terms of rotation, the position they play, that comes into the fact. But I don't think there's some issue with pacing or not getting on the field. And I think, but you do have to be interchangeable because there have been some issues at the linebacker position in terms of John Beeson's injury. But Devin Kennard practiced Monday. I mean, so you're going to see him. I think he could be a big surprise to that draft class as he gets continues to improve. So there's definitely some optimism in that linebacker class, that linebacker group, if you will, where the last few years, I mean, Giants fans, everyone's been screaming for, like, linebackers. We need quality linebackers. Now you have...
Well, McLean's been great stepping in for Beeson.
Beeson.
Jaquan Williams has really stepped up.
Yeah.
He's playing some of the best football that we've seen him play from my alma mater, by the way. The Bulls, University of South Florida, the house. That's right.
Bush Boulevard.
That's right. Don't you know it. Real quick, John Beeson, Odell Beckham Jr., and Devin Kennard all practicing today, right? Because you had the Tom Coughlin press conference. I saw that on Twitter. So thumbs up on all three of those guys, huh?
Yeah, and the fact that this injury report is as short as it's been in a long time. I mean, you add Steve Weatherford on there because he's still dealing with and nursing that ankle, which is getting better every week. So to say that everyone's on the injury report is actually practicing, you know, you don't see other guys on there that just haven't been out. You don't see James Brewer on there. You don't see other guys on there like that. So to only have four people on injury report and all those guys are practicing, that gives you great optimism that they manage this little short bye week well. The team is healthy. That's obviously a game-to-game situation. But at this point of the season, the doctors, training staff, I think is pretty optimistic about the guys that are on the injury report.
Yeah, so positive for the Giants, but a big negative right now for the Atlanta Falcons. They lose their starting center. Joe Hanley, I believe, is his name. ACL, lost for the season. So Peter Konz, K-O-N-Z, if I'm pronouncing that properly, I hope I am. He's going to be getting the start. Really, that Atlanta Falcons offensive line just looks really bad. Looked really bad against Minnesota last week, and now they lose their starting center. What a crush that is, Roman.
Yeah, and I think to lose a center is difficult enough. To lose a tackle and a center is extremely difficult. When you've got a quarterback like Matt Ryan, you've got targets like Julio Jones, Roddy White, even Harry Douglas. They've got Devin Hester is like a third or fourth receiver, depending on what package they use. So on the road, you've got to be able to protect the guys. You can't have bad snaps. You can't have any of those issues. I mean, the five guys that start the beginning of the season, they start for a reason because they're starters. The three or four guys that make the team as their backups, I mean, they're able to play, but you hope that they can just get along and come through. I mean, you have a lot of young guys. They've drafted well, but, you know, no one can script three guys going on IR on the offensive line.
Yeah,
I mean,
three starting offensive linemen on the IR right now for the Atlanta Falcons and their center being one this week. 201-939-4513. We're going to continue with our calls. Let's go to New Jersey. Ryan is standing by on line three. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Ryan.
I have two questions. Well, one about Beckham, but that's what everyone asks. One question is about the Giants' offensive line. I don't get how they went from being so bad in the preseason in the first game now to being, like, one of the best ones in the league. Like, I don't know how that happened.
Well, I think if you – Ryan, thanks for the question. I think if you watch football and you watch offensive lines and there's always an adjustment period. There's always a period where you have to gel. You have to get to know each other. And I spoke to Ben McAdoo at length early in preseason in Eden, and he said these guys got to spend more time together. They've got to eat more meals together, go out together, you know, hang out at the sports bar, whatever, after practice. I mean, they've got to do all that thing in terms of gelling. But there also has to be a familiarity with the guys that are playing next to you. The fact that, you know, J.D. Walton in there, you know, Rich Berg, and then John Jerry. I mean, you thought it was going to be Mosley, maybe, you know.
Jeff Schwartz?
Yeah, Schwartz at left guard. You know, Rich Berg would be the center. That's what people thought. So when that didn't happen, I'm more surprised that it's guys that you didn't think were going to start that are doing well. It's not the O-line is playing well as a whole, but, I mean, I would have seen maybe Mosley or Jerry at right guard, Schwartz at left guard, because he got a big contract, and then you have a center, a bigger, younger offensive line. They brought in five guys that were all exactly 27 years old, so it shows the upside, which all the guys they brought in the offseason. But you don't say, okay, I'm going to stink it up in preseason, and then regular season, I'm going to start playing well. It's a work in progress. I mean, you're always getting better. So,
but let me throw this in here as well. And the way that this West Coast offense works, I hate to use the phrase dink and dunk, but in a sense, that's what we're seeing Eli have success with here. So, I mean, should we as well give Eli some credit in the fact that we're seeing him really digest, be able to execute this West Coast offense and get the ball out of his hands really quickly, Roman, where he's getting hit, not sacked, not tackled. He's getting rid of the ball really quick. He's making those quick little intermediate reads. So I am really excited for Odell Beckham Jr. to get back on the field, and we don't know if he's going to be back this week against Atlanta. But because of his talent and the skill set that he brings and his speed and his athleticism and the way that I'm seeing this offense really kind of work and gel, I can't wait to see Eli get the ball in his hands and see what he can do.
Yeah, and I want to go back to something I said a few weeks ago, one of our earlier shows, when there was a lot of criticism about this offense. And, I mean, it's like the same people that criticized Kelvin Gilbride were now saying, well, why did you change the offense? You need to go back to what's worked for Eli for 10 years. There are different derivatives, if you will, of the derivative of the West Coast offense. You had McNabb in Philly. You had Jeff Garcia and Steve Young in the 49ers. That you had Jake the Snake, you know, the run action passes, the zone runs. And you also had this no huddle, keep it at the line of scrimmage, give the quarterback, who has to be a smart quarterback, two or three options in terms of plays that he likes, they can get in and out of. Running the game, quick tempo. I mean, that's what Eli Manning does well. And I think a lot of fans were always arguing that this West Coast offense doesn't work because Eli Manning's not Aaron Rodgers. This Packers East isn't going to work. Well, the mark of a good coach and a good offensive coordinator is saying what you have and making it work based on what guys do well. No one was going to try to turn Eli Manning into Aaron Rodgers. Or Jeff Garcia scrambling, making plays out of the pocket. I mean, you look at this new model of NFL quarterback, the run throw option guy quarterback. I mean, that's not what Eli Manning does well. So I give a lot of credit, just at least early in the season, in terms of formulating an identity, because a West Coast is just a label. But what you want as an offense is an identity, and that identity is toughness, smarts, physical, running the ball, protecting the quarterback. QBs and receivers being, you know, in tune with each other, what's going on as things progress during the course of a game. I mean, Larry Donnell, four touchdowns. I mean, when I saw that fade in the end zone for the Detroit game opening night, I'm like, okay, and everyone's saying, okay, this is what they've been holding off for preseason. This is the big magic trick of this offense. But look at what Larry did. He's still a rising player. He still is learning how to play football at the NFL level, and he has four touchdowns in his resume so far. So, look, you can't coach 6'6", 260. I mean, he looks like a 260-pound Plaxico Burress out there playing tight end, you know, going up for those jump balls. And that's a good comfort zone for Eli Manning to have a guy like that to stretch the scene. And you've got Ruben Randle that's still improving, Victor Cruz. And when you get Odell Beckham back, Anita, I know you'll be happy.
Back?
Or when you get him in general.
His NFL debut, regular yeah. season debut.
Yeah, when you
back.
Get him, when you get him, I think it'll be great for all. So,
yeah.
Fans should learn now that what the product that they've seen the last 2 weeks, now this is where you say, okay, we're giving this guy a chance to get better. Eli Manning, remember the number that the camp that everyone laughed at? 70% passing? He's at 71.8% completion percentage right now. If you don't have two or three drops in those earlier games, you might be at 75%.
So 201-939-4513 is the phone number to get in. A really quick story here. So on Friday, I was doing my 3 mile run, and I see a guy like kind of hobbling up the stairs like this from a distance, and I look, and it's Kiwi. And he's, like, hobbling up the stairs to go, I guess, to his bank or something. And I was like, Kiwi! And he, like, slowly turned around. And I was like, you guys did it! I was like, Larry Donnell.
That's so funny.
I said, Larry Donnell, who knew? And he said, oh, we did. Oh, exactly. He said, we did. He said, let me tell you something. He said, I've been playing this league a long time. I've never seen anyone practice as hard as they play. He said, Larry practices every day like it's a game.
Yeah.
So if you're asking me who knew, well, I knew, we all knew.
Trust me.
Because the way that young man practices, he wants it so bad. And I said, way to like, you know, cue us in here. Like,
yeah.
Way
I
to
mean,
like.
Look, a lot of people laughed at me. Right? Laughed at me when I said Larry Donnell is the best option at tight end. You don't have to go out there on the street and get a guy. A lot of people. I'm not going to say whether they were in this building or not, but a lot of people laughed
at
me.
I didn't believe it.
And said, listen, you've got to let these young guys improve and let them get better. Now, did we predict 4 touchdowns at week 4? No, we didn't. But in terms of blocking and getting the side adjust and all the things that you have to do, well, those things will happen. But Larry Donnell at this point, once again, the Giants have found another tight end that they desperately need every year going into the season, but they got one from it then. They didn't have to go out and get a guy. And that's a credit to you know, Mark Ross and Jerry Reese and the scouting department, who's been under a lot of criticism from fans about these draft picks.
All right, let's continue with our calls. Again, Romanovan, Anita Marks, you're listening to Big Blue Kickoff Live and watching Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com with you till 1 o'clock Eastern time today. And the phone lines are open, 201-939-4513. You want to talk about Giants as they get ready to take on the Atlanta Falcons, week 5 of the NFL season. They're sitting at 2-2. You've got the Eagles coming off of a really disappointing loss for them to the San Francisco 49ers. Dallas beat New Orleans. I mean, like I said a little bit earlier, Dallas, wow, that offensive line, hands down, best offensive line in the NFL. You know, they go and they spend a first-round draft pick, 3 out of the last 5 years on an offensive lineman, and it's making a world of difference for them offensively, especially in the rushing attack. DeMarco Murray has just been an absolute beast. And Washington, horrible, embarrassing loss to the Giants last week. Can they rebound? I don't think so. They're going up against Seattle this week.
Yeah.
Seattle, oh, you think you had it bad with the Giants. Oh, I feel bad for Kirk Cousins. Let's go to line 1, Anthony calling in from Long Island. Anthony, welcome.
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for joining us.
Hey, I wanted to talk more about the division, and I was thinking that everyone was afraid of the Eagles going into this season, you know, naturally with Nick Foles having that ridiculous season last year. But if I'm a division rival, I got to say, if I'm, you know, the Giants or the Cowboys, my thinking is run the ball right down the throat. I have not seen anyone up front show any capabilities of stopping the run in Philadelphia so far, despite the fact that they're 3-1. So I was wondering what you guys take with on that.
In terms of stopping Philadelphia's run?
Or you're saying in terms of
really standing out in the division right now. You know, the Eagles, everyone's talking about the Eagles, but I think a good way to beat them is to run the football, and I think that no one's really tried it consistently enough. And you saw it with San Francisco a little bit, but they only up their carries later in the game. And I just think that's the best way to beat Philadelphia, and I think right now you're looking at Giants, Cowboys in the NFC East.
I'm looking at – I want to see who Philadelphia's playing this week. Hold on. Well, let me call this up. Go ahead.
I think, Anthony, you know, I'm from the frame of thought that you've got to let it play out. I mean, look, I played 12 years in the NFL. I was in the locker room. You didn't care what the division was doing. You didn't care. I mean, you noticed it. So if it's a Monday night game or somebody's playing, you'll watch if they're a division because you have to play them that year. But in terms of, I mean, the Eagles have to right their own ship and they have to continue to play. And the Giants will play. They'll play each other, obviously, twice because they're in the same division. But that'll all be determined. I don't think, you know, from a football standpoint, the Giants should think, okay, what's the best way to stop the Eagles right now? I mean, they're going to play them next week or in 2 weeks or –
Next week. Atlanta, then at Philly, and then at Dallas.
At Philly and at Dallas. So let's have this conversation in 3 weeks when they've played 3 divisional games and all these teams are now saying, okay, who's really starting to separate themselves week 6, week 7, going into week 8 before the Giants have a bye week. So I'm still in a frame of thought that you have to let it play out, because we saw this Philadelphia Eagles team last year just explode, and then, you know, the story of Cinderella, the stagecoach turns into a pumpkin at some point. It happened to Kansas City in the playoffs. It happened to Philadelphia last year. And so you always want to just put yourself in a position that you're playing your best football for, you know, 5-6 weeks after Thanksgiving. And there have been a lot of teams every year. There's a hot team, and there's the best team in September and October, and teams just run out of gas. Defenses get better. Somebody gets injured. All those things are really contributable factors in terms of what how this thing plays out. But I definitely wanted this to see this play out. And we'll know in 2 weeks who are the pretenders, who are contenders, especially in the NFC's division.
And keep in mind, I mean, you know, not that I want to say, well, the Giants kind of got lucky, but you hate that they got lucky because of somebody else's injury. But let's face it, you know, with Arizona, they went up against Arizona. Unfortunately, they lost, but they went up against an Arizona team that did not have Carson Palmer. I mean,
well, Drew Stanton beat the 49ers the next week too.
Well, I understand, yeah. But it's still a backup quarterback, and then going up against Houston. What I'm saying is I feel the Giants should have won that game.
Right.
The way that it played out towards the end of the fourth quarter. I mean, but they should have won that game, and then with Houston not having Arian Foster, and then with Washington, they had 17 guys on the injury report going into that week. They were just totally beat up. And I feel really outcoached. I thought the Giants were just wanted it more, out-prepared.
Outcoached them, yeah.
Yeah, I really do believe it. So I guess what I'm saying here is that sometimes the stars have to align properly for you, and that's something that the Giants are kind of out of control with. Now, look, Atlanta's coming in. They've lost three of their starting offensive linemen. You know, so you got to think JPP, Kiwi, they're licking their chops. On top of that, their pass rush defense ranks 30th in the NFL. Their rushing defense ranks 28th. Really, in a sense, the Giants can really dictate whatever they want. If their defense is really that bad, the Giants are going to be able to come into this game room and dictate whatever they want to do.
Yeah, and that's the way it should play out. And it should happen that way. But, again, you talk about the injuries and the way the stars have aligned with the Giants and who they play in the schedule. That happens around the league. I mean, if you look at the bigger picture, that happens around the league. If you're a good football team, if you call yourself a good football team, there's 8 games that you should win. If you just say, if you line up, you wake up Sunday morning, this is a game you should. There's 8 games you should win. There's 4 games that are the 50-50 games. They come down to the fourth quarter, turnover, a mistake. I mean, the better teams, the teams with more maturity win those games, the least penalized. Now you're at 12. Now, those other games are the games you got to just take, and everyone's got to play out of their mind. And then that just gives you the confidence going in the playoffs when offenses are all much better and defenses are much stingier. So, again, you can talk about the injuries, and fans will say this, and I remember last year after going 0-6, the Giants played a bad string of like 4 bad quarterbacks, and at least then they won 4 in a row, and they played bad quarterbacks. Well, when they were 0-6 this time last year, or going towards 0-6, there were games where they should have won too. Had they been a better team, had they just found a way to win. The Giants now are finding a way to win, and they're capitalizing on mistakes, and they're taking advantage of teams that, look, you force Ryan Fitzpatrick to throw the ball, he becomes the guy he was in Buffalo. You find a way to get to Kirk Cousins. I mean, you saw what the Houston Texans defensive line did to the Redskins. I think they used some of that game plan, and it worked. Threw interceptions, turned the ball over. So I think the biggest question coming to this game, and I'm going back to that Arizona game, this punt return team has shown an ability to give up a big run for a touchdown, and you've got not arguably but the greatest returner of all time.
Devin Hester, right?
Coming into the stadium in MetLife Stadium on Sunday. So I think special teams will be an equalizer in this football game.
Keep in mind, Devin Hester, the way that the Atlanta Falcons are utilizing him on offense as well, he's a part of that passing attack.
Yeah, Tom Coughlin said he's about the third or fourth receiver, depending on the package that they use.
But a lot of that is because they had Harry Douglas has been out, but Harry Douglas is expected back. So now you're getting Julio Jones, Roddy White, Harry Douglas, and Devin Hester. Really not much of a rushing attack with Steven Jackson in the backfield. Really, it's a four-headed monster back there, so you never know what you're going to get. But nonetheless, with a depleted offensive line, how much success are they going to have running the ball? Only time will tell. We'll find out Sunday afternoon. Let's continue with our calls, 201-939-4513. Let's go to line 4, Ryan calling in from New Jersey. Ryan, welcome.
Hi, yeah, I was here to ask about the offensive line before.
Oh, and Ryan part 2?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Ryan.
And I know
this
is kind of far in the future, but how do you think they match up against Seattle? Because I think with the way they get the ball so quickly and they can run the ball with their defense playing, I think they could give them a good game.
That Seattle game's here or on the road?
Seattle is here. Oh, no, on the road.
It's on the
out
road.
West.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I think it's too early to talk about how they match up with Seattle.
Right.
I mean, again, they could have another – they could have three guys injured by then or the Giants. You never know. I think every team matches up well on paper with the other team. If an offensive line is playing well and they're protecting the quarterback and you're getting rid of the ball quick, you know, Seattle plays that soft cover two zone. They live and die by that zone. I think they were exposed in one game this year, the game they lost, Seattle lose to. Seattle lost this year. Early in the season.
Hold on.
But they were exposed in that zone the Denver. Yeah. San Diego game, Denver game.
No, well, they beat Denver.
They beat Denver, but
right.
You saw some
they're coming off of a bye. They're going up against Washington and Dallas.
Yeah, you saw some glitches in their system. But in terms of line for line, they rotate a lot of guys in that defensive line. They've always done that. Bennett is a great pass rusher. They have a lot of undersized guys. You don't really have a lot of big physical guys on that D-line, but they run extremely well. They're a little bit lighter in terms of there's no 320-pound guy in the middle. They all can run well, and it's going to be a test when they get to that point. But, again, if the Giants, which I expect them to do, have their identity, you know, running the ball, putting 120 yards on the ground a game, if they start creeping up there in rushing yards, third downs, I mean – that's what you need going on the road. And Seattle has shown to be vulnerable to teams that are disciplined and play well, play tough and physical.
All right, let's continue with our calls. Again, 201-939-4513. Let's go to Rennell. Rennell calling in from Chicago.
Yes.
Hi, welcome.
How you doing?
Okay.
It's my first time talking to you, Anita.
Okay, well, hi.
How you doing?
I'm great. What you got?
Right.
What you got for us?
I was calling in because I've been an avid Giants fan since childhood.
Okay.
And one thing I've noticed, because I break down game tape like coaches, I sit around and break it down and rewind and go back. I do it all. And
can
I've
you turn
noticed
down
the last
your
that
television, sir?
Herzlick was a major, major deficit in the defense. Huh?
Okay. Well, because you have the audio on in the back. You've got to...
Okay, let me turn this down.
Yeah,
let me turn it down.
Okay.
Let me turn it down. Yeah, so I've noticed that Herzlick was like hurting our defense. He was hitting the wrong holes. He was over-anticipating. He was late. He was early. Like, and they changed it. They took him out of the game, and they put... I want to say they put Roll in the middle of the field, and the whole defense changed, and we got like two or three turnovers with him out of the game. Now, I know we got some linebackers hurt, but I really think we need to look into either if somebody comes off off an injury or look into another linebacker, because Herzlick is really hurting us. That's one thing. Two things. I don't want the Giants to let us down because they have a tendency of letting us down with games that they're supposed to win. We're supposed to beat Atlanta as injured as they are. We're supposed to beat them. We're supposed to attack the quarterback. We're supposed to get through the line. But for some reason, when we play against second-rated quarterbacks and we play against backups and all of that, we tend to, I don't know, take our foot off the pedal, I guess.
Well, I wouldn't call Matt Ryan a second-rate quarterback.
No.
It's all right.
Oh, sorry, we lost him. I wouldn't call Matt Ryan second-rate. And I understand what he's trying to say, but when you're preparing for a game and you put in that game plan, and, you know, Wednesday's like a Monday in the NFL because that's the first day of the week, you know, leading up to that Monday to Friday, if you will, is like Wednesday to Sunday in the NFL, so – the heavy install goes in on Wednesday, the film study and all that stuff. And you know, you play to win. You play. No one goes out to disappoint or – and I know that this gentleman knows that. But, again, I think this whole notion of letting us down and this is the player part of me talking. You want to win every game. You want to play every game. And it's hard to win the NFL, and that's why games are won or lost by – by an average of about 4 points. The Herzlick issue, we addressed that a little earlier. I'm not going to analyze Herzlick's film evaluation at this point. I think he's a solid player. He plays a good role, obviously, in a team that has significantly better linebackers. You know, Herzlick, he can play in certain packages. He could play in some short yardage stuff. He can do a lot of different. He has some versatility. He's great on special teams. I'm a fan of Mark Herzlick and what he's done in his career. But again, this Giants linebacking core has been improving. You add John Beeson last year. You hope you can get him for the rest of the season, starting at least, if not this week, from next week on. You have McClain coming from Baltimore with that Baltimore Ravens kind of mentality and that linebacker mentality. And so this team has definitely addressed the linebacker issue, if you will, in terms of having a solid stud, you know, type of linebacker, because you haven't seen that since, you know, Antonio Pierce, if you will. And I think you had a few stretches there when you had some solid linebackers. But that leadership at the linebacker position, that's a staple for the Giants franchise. I think they've addressed that. But, yeah, I'm not going to bash Herzlick and say he's an awful player. I mean, it's hard to be a good player.
The biggest criticism I've gotten back on Herzlick is just he just needs to be a better communicator, especially if you're playing that Mike linebacker.
Right.
That's the biggest criticism that I've heard. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. 201-939-4513. Anita Marks and Roman Oben with you for another 30 minutes here on Giants.com. You're watching Big Blue Kickoff Live. Also, I'm monitoring Twitter. A lot of comments, not a lot of questions. A lot of comments. Excited to see Odell Beckham Jr. Hopefully, he's going to play this Sunday against Atlanta. The offensive line finally gelling, chemistry, stuff like that. So just a lot of comments, really no questions to pose. If you do have a question for Roman, maybe you're at work and your boss doesn't want you to call into the show, well, just send us a tweet and I'll make sure that I ask Roman the question.
Yeah, 100%.
Let's continue with our calls. We have Izzy calling in from the Bronx. Izzy, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Izzy.
How you doing?
Good,
how you
good.
Doing, Anita? It's my first time speaking to you, too. I love me some Anita Marks.
Oh, thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
I got a couple points.
He doesn't love me either?
I got love for you too, Roman.
Come on, BX.
Baby.
Come on, BX. Wow, man, you're killing me.
I got love for you. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, of course.
Okay, all right. I just wanted to say I saw the Giants piece. Find the Giants. The on NFL Network. And it really put in perspective. So I just want to touch on that real quick. And I just want to, give my salutes and appreciation to the, to the scouts and everything that finds the Andre Williams and, these diamonds in the rough. So I just want to thank you guys for the job you do, if nobody does it. But back to my points. I called John and Lance, I think, before the Redskins game. And I think we're in the same position. We're in a similar position for, like, the fourth straight week that the Giants is in is in a position where they're playing, they fortunate to play a wounded team, so to speak. With the Redskins, you had their cornerback D'Angelo Williams out, their right tackle was out and everything. So I think the Giants took a big, huge advantage of that. And I think we're in the same position with Atlanta Falcons. And I would second that notion that the last caller did, that he reiterated, that I don't think the Giants should take Atlanta lightly as far as, thinking that they, because they have significant injuries, they should take them lightly. I think the Giants should stick with this confidence and just really handle their business and having Atlanta come in. And with that being said, I just want to say that I don't know if you guys just said that. I don't know if I heard, because I just I came in. I don't know if I heard it right. Was it Devin Kennard, was he practicing, you guys said?
Yes, he practiced Monday, and I think he's expected to practice today as well.
Okay, so that would be pretty much leaning on that he'll be able to play, or he just have to get back into game shape and everything.
Well, the medical staff determines that. So, depending on where he is today, tomorrow practice, Friday, you get reevaluated every day, and because you just don't want any setbacks.
But let's do this. Hey,
so
and thank
the special
you.
Team, yeah,
thank
special
you.
Teams
thank
too,
you for the phone call.
But that's where he's going to contribute more than anywhere if he comes back to play on special teams.
Roman, you can kind of clue us in on this, because there is being in shape, and then there's being in football shape.
Right.
Odell Beckham Jr. I mean, I don't know if folks realize it. I mean, he hasn't really been practicing since OTAs. So, you know, so where does he, like, let's say hypothetically, here, I'm going to put you on the hot seat.
Right.
Hypothetically speaking, Odell Beckham Jr. suits up. Realistically, what can Giants fans expect from him going into this game against Atlanta? Or do you even have a good sense of what you can expect from him?
If he dresses and suits up for the game, then I would have to expect that he's as close to 100% as he's going to be right now, if he suits up, because that means he's live, he's active. He should return a punt or a kickoff. He should run some go routes. They should try to test his speed and maybe use one of those deep balls. It's not like an offensive lineman where you're going to have to play 50 snaps. When you dress, you're playing, and every play is a physical contact. I think they'll have to be creative in the way they use him if he plays this Sunday. But one thing Coach Coughlin said in the press conference is, you know, Odell Beckham's sat in every meeting. He's taken every mental rep he could take. He's been, I mean, when you're injured, you're actually working double. I mean, you're doing the meetings, then you're rehabbing, practice, when they're practicing, and you're doing stuff in the morning. You come in at 6 in the morning and after practice. So you're really working that injury beyond its normal capacity just to get back to full speed. The last phase of that is what happens throughout the course of a game. You know, the game checks, the signals, 3rd and 10, defense looks different. It gets changed. Now he's got a side adjust. I mean, those are the things that you can't do in practice.
Right.
So that's, you know, in terms of being in game shape, that's what Odell Beckham or any position has to do. Just the different nuances and intricacies of what happens throughout the course of a game, that's where he's going to have to improve. And I think I would definitely love to see Odell Beckham get sprinkled some reps in Sunday, a little bit more next week, and that Dallas game just really be at full. Then he has a bye week to rest, recover. Now you attack the rest of the season.
201-939-4513, the phone number you want to get in. We're here for you till 1 o'clock Eastern time on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Let's go to line 3. Andrew is calling in from Pennsylvania. Andrew, welcome.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Okay.
I was just curious. I don't really pay attention to Atlanta that much. What would you say the biggest matchup disadvantages of the Giants are going to face this coming weekend? Like, what should we be worried about coming from Atlanta?
Well, I think on paper, obviously I mentioned the return game. Devin Hester is the greatest returner of all time. He beat Deion Sanders' record, I think 21 returns for a touchdown. I know Kansas City had a returner a couple years ago. They had a short stint. I mean, there have been some returners, but no one has done it for a long period of time consistently like Devin Hester. He's got great field vision. And you talk about the equalizer of a football game, I think it's the return game. If you have an excellent returner, that balances what discrepancies you don't have on offense or defense because of field position, all that stuff. And then lastly, obviously the Falcons have an excellent receiving core and a quarterback that's, you know, one of the better quarterbacks, whether you top 5 or top 10, who cares, but Matt Ryan is one of the better upper third in terms of one of the better quarterbacks in the league.
Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie had a thigh injury last
right.
week against Washington. But again, the positive is 10 days. 10 days until they're going to be facing the Atlanta Falcons. So hopefully that thigh injury is not as serious. He was not on the injury report list, which is great, which means he's practicing today.
Yeah. If it's a thigh bruise, that means it's a contusion or a bruise versus a pull or a strain of a muscle or a joint.
Because they're really going to need them.
Yeah, 100%.
All of them.
Especially these receivers. They'll definitely need them.
On Sunday. Another matchup that you want to keep an eye on, which I'm excited about, is Will Beattie going up against former Giant OCU Manura. Roman, really quickly, before we continue with the calls, and Roger and Stas, you guys are up next. When a player, because OC and Will Beattie practiced together for so many years, you know the nuances, right? You know the technique, you know the special spin moves that OC is going to, how is that, who has the advantage there going into Sunday?
Well, it goes down to circumstances, and I think Giants fans would remember Chad Bradsky when he was here. He left to go to Indianapolis. I played against him when the Colts came here, and I think the 1999 season, and I played against Chad Bradsky, and I probably watched more film, practice film that week, because no matter what was going to happen, I wasn't going to let Chad Bradsky beat me for a sack or beat me inside or anything. So I think this is a week where Will Beattie really prepares mentally. You know, he doesn't want OCU Manura to be a difference in the game in terms of getting to the quarterback. And on the other side, OCU Manura is 2 years removed from the player that he was when he was here. This isn't an 07, 08 Osi Mignore. It's 2014. He's a little older. He still has the burst. He still can run well and chase things down from the backside with that strip fumble. But he only has one sack at this point, I think four quarterback hits. And so typically a defensive end is going to make his living getting those at this stage on the road when the crowd noise. Coming to Giants Stadium, Will Beatty will hear this snap count. He'll be able to get off the ball. And that at least buys him a little more time to be able to get rid of the football. If Osi Mignore pulls out a page from his 2005 or 07 self. But I'm looking forward to the matchup. You know, I've been in that position. I played on four teams. When I left the Giants, I played against Cedric Jones, who came and got drafted together. I left Tampa to go to San Diego. I played against Simeon Rice, who were teammates, and Warren Sapp won the Super Bowl together. So the irony is I've always played the team that I left against the team that I joined the year before. So I'm looking forward to that homecoming. Because Osi Mignore, a lot of good memories for Giants fans and a lot of the reason why the Giants have won, you know, two Super Bowl in the last 6 years.
201-939-4513 is the number you want to get in. By all means, we're here for you for another 20 minutes. Let's go to Roger, line four, calling in from Long Island. Roger, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Good afternoon and happy lunch hour to everybody. I'm glad to call in to you guys today.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us.
I've got one comment and one question for you guys. First, I'd like to just make a comment that one of the Giant fans, there's a lot of us out there who never doubted Eli Manning. I'd just like to say that the man's a warrior, a winner, and our leader, and I'm so happy that week four, no one's asking to replace Eli with a second-year player in Ryan Nassib. I'd like to make that one comment to all the Giant fans out there who are saying, you know, oh, Eli's done, or bring somebody back. The man's a warrior, a winner, and I personally wouldn't want anybody else to lead in my team. My question is, after watching Hard Knocks Atlanta this year, I really took out that their center, I think his name is Hawley.
Right.
And I think he's going to be out this Sunday, was really their number one offensive lineman and the man calling the plays and the man who kind of anchors that toughness, if you would, of the O-line, because they called him Brawley because he was always getting fights and everything like that. Do you think, Roman and Anita, that him being out is really going to swing the advantage in our way to win the war of the trenches?
Well,
I do.
Yeah, I think having to replace a center on the road in terms of snap count, crowd noise, all that stuff. I mean, Giants fans are going to be live in effect on Sunday, and when you lose a part of your interior offensive line, look, the Giants went through this the last couple of years. You had Snead playing with a bad hip. You had issues at the center position. Boss wasn't always healthy, and that adds 100%. That's a 100% effect to the pressure that faces a quarterback in his face, and it's tough. Trust me. And again, this is a Giant show, obviously, so that's an advantage to the Giants. But in terms of offensive line play, when you lose your center, and that he was pretty much the meat and potatoes of that offensive line, the tough guy, the ballroom brawl type of guy, when you lose that attitude, you're losing an attitude in addition to the productivity at that center position.
Did you watch Hard Knocks?
I watched some of it. I wasn't really into it this summer.
Yeah.
I watched a little bit of it, I'll be honest.
201-9, I did not.
Yeah, I watched like two episodes.
I'm with you. I really couldn't get into it.
Yeah, like 7 or 8 years of Hard Knocks. I mean, how much
when the whole Housewives thing came, I can't do that Housewives stuff. And that was, do you know what I'm talking about?
What?
One of the players dates one of the Atlanta Housewives.
That's right. One of those reality.
I can't do that.
Well, and then you also hear that there's like eight teams that always turn it down, and then they're like left with this consolation prize of the team that's okay.
Yeah, but you know what? I felt that way about Cincinnati last year, but Cincinnati was actually quite good.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Giovanni Bernard driving around in a minivan. Come on. That was great stuff.
Yeah, I know you would never see a Giants Hard Knocks. I guarantee you that.
Well, you can't – teams cannot turn it down now.
Well, you have to do it once. So, once in the next 32 years, you'll see a Giants Hard Knocks?
You will see a Giants Hard Knocks. Yeah. It's win. You know what I mean? Like there's certain, I think if you make it to the playoffs, then you're out of the equation. If you have a new coach, you're out of the equation. There's certain parameters as to how you can get out of it. But there
it's like the old Senior Bowl rule. Like if you two head coaches, if you have the bottom two teams and your head coaches don't get fired, then you have to coach the Senior Bowl.
But there were some better teams that I felt really could have. Like the Bears, for example, with Jared Allen on defense and Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey and Jay Cutler on offense.
I think it's
and
also
Matt
about the story. The
I would have been more excited about that than Atlanta.
I mean, I don't think Mark Trestman is a very excitable guy to watch. I mean, he's just like Lovie Smith, except he's not Lovie Smith. Anyways,
how exciting do you
back
think,
to the Giants?
How exciting do you think the Giants would be, though? I don't. This isn't a team that's like gonna like entertain people on Hard Knocks.
Well, I mean, when it comes to that point, the producers and the editors, they find a way to.
This is an Eli team. It's like this team is like.
Yeah, but that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
It's a great
thing. The best recipe for that is go to the playoffs every year, and you'll never have to be on Hard Knocks.
Right.
There you go.
That's what you need to do. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Stas calling in from Washington, the state Washington.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you?
Good.
Whoa.
Hello?
Yeah.
Good, we're here.
Oh, okay, hey, so real quick, Roman Oben, Anita Marks, and T-Dot, I swear you guys have, like, the best football acumen. When you guys are on the show, I love hearing the stuff you guys have to say about the details of the game, and I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Two things, just real quick. It's kind of frustrating as a Giants fan. It just feels like every win we've gotten this year, before the game, we're not going to win because of J.J. Watt or if it's Kirk Cousins. And then we win the game, and they say, well, you should have won the game in the first place. And it's, oh, it was Kirk Cousins. Meanwhile, they were crowning this guy, the next Hall of Famer, just the day before that we actually played the guy. And then you look at J.J. Watt right now. Oh, he's MVP of the league. Meanwhile, he barely had a stat against us. And I feel like the Giants still, and outside of the BBK group, then I get the recognition of how they're coming together. And it's just the Giants. And you look at it, it gets frustrating. Like right now, we're going to play Atlanta. And if we beat Atlanta, they're going to say, well, of course, their offensive line was so messed up. Of course you beat them. No one cared last year when we had the most injured team in the NFL and we were losing and our quarterback was getting nailed every other snap. No one cared. So I don't care what the conditions are of a team or how they're coming in. When you suit up and you take that field to win the game. And your coach and your organization said you're the best 53 that's going out. And that's that. So, like, I just hate when people, like, it just feels like all of their wins have been diminished, and it's frustrating. And frustration,
go ahead.
Anita, you had a show, you hosted a show this summer, and you and another caller had went in and talked about how Eli Manning in the league really doesn't get the respect he's due. And I felt like you were dead on that. And it's so funny because last year, Eli Manning was just pummeled for how bad he played, and no one really talked about how bad the O-line was in the national media. They just talked about how bad Eli Manning was. This year, you see the situation Tom Brady's going through, and someone made a comment to Bill Belichick about possibly reevaluating quarterbacks, which I think is just a dumb statement to say, just want to put that out there. But if you look at the national media, what are they all saying? They're saying, well, come on now. You got to give Tom Brady a break.
Protecting him. Thanks for your call. You can go first.
Yeah, you look confused. because there was a lot that he threw out there. And this is what – because let me clue you in regard to what I was saying. When this West Coast offense was first implemented and there was talks about, well, does the system really fit Eli Manning? This was my take. My take was, I don't understand. Peyton Manning leaves the Colts and goes on this tour around the NFL, who wants me, right?
Right.
Because that's really what he did. Visited with this team, that team, this team.
Remember
that
the many faces of Peyton Manning?
Yeah,
the
internet, like, who wants me? Let me visit images. And make sure that maybe your organization is a fit. And Eli came with his playbook. And I come with my playbook.
Right.
And this is the playbook that I'm going to play because this is what's going to make me successful. And my take was, why doesn't Eli get a say? Why can't Eli say, okay, you're going to get rid of Gilbride? Okay, I want to be a part of the decision process in regard to the offensive coordinator that you're going to bring in because here's the plays that suit me as a quarterback. Why didn't that happen? That was my whole spiel, my take on – is it that he's not getting – he's won two Super Bowls. He's a Super Bowl MVP. If anybody should have a say as well, it should be him.
Right.
Why are we throwing this West Coast offense on? But you know what? Look, in hindsight, hey, it's working for him now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, whatever.
Yeah, and then to the first question that the caller said, you know, if you're an offensive lineman and you're not the 90s Cowboys offensive line or whoever, it's always going to be about the other guy. It's always going to be like, how are you going to stop this guy? It's always going to be like that. So as a player, you don't get upset because of that. Because you've got enough to worry about in your playbook and your film study. You're not reading clips from media and posts and comments. I mean, you really stay away from that. I mean, obviously, I read the papers and the comments a lot more now because I'm in the media than I was as a player. I never read the newspaper, ever. Unless it was the transactions or who got cut and who signed a big deal. I never read any of that stuff because most of it is really discouraging. And so, because it takes a lot mentally to be able to just do your job. And this J.J. Watt discussion, I mean, let's be honest here. J.J. Watt, I think, against the Giants had 7 tackles, a sack, and a pass deflection. If he does that every week, he's Defensive Player of the Year again. What did he do last week? Interception, 82 yards for a touchdown. He's a good player. He didn't have 4 sacks against the Giants. He didn't have 3 sacks. He didn't, you know, tip a ball that got ran back for a pick 6 as the Giants were trying to come back and win. He didn't close the game, but he's a pretty good football player. I mean, let's be honest about that. And the fact that the Giants put 193 yards on the ground, that aided in time of possession. It kept their defense from pass rush mode. It kept the third down short. And that goes into a good game plan, and it kept their other offense off the field. So that's – I don't think, you know, Justin Pugh or Will Beattie or any of those guys have a problem with the fact that when it's a good defensive end coming in, oh, this guy is going to stop you. What are you going to do against him, or what are you going to do against Cousins? Or that's the way the media, that's the way the world, it's 2014. That's always the highlight. How do you stop it? I mean, this week is going to be Devin Hester, and they're going to replay that punt return for a touchdown against the Arizona game. You're going to see that 50 times this week. But opening day, kickoff, 1 o'clock or 1:07, whenever the ball's kicked off, you got to play those 60 minutes and play your best football and eliminate the mistakes, eliminate the turnovers, take the ball away, and don't give it up on your side of the ball. And you do that, most of the time you will win the football game. I think that's what the players really and coaching staff really focuses on.
201-939-4513. We just have about 8 minutes left. I want to try to get as many callers in as we can before, of course, Roman and I break for lunch. Let's go to line 3. Joe in Princeton, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, good afternoon, Roman and Anita. How you guys doing?
Good afternoon.
Great.
Wanted to ask you, I know you guys touched on Hawley, the center, being out for the season, and they also lost their right tackle. I wanted to know if there was any update. I believe it was their left guard also left last week early, and what his status is. His name is Blaylock. Because there's, you know, if he's still hurt, there's a chance we're going to be going against, you know, 4 new offensive linemen and the rookie Matthews on the other end. I mean, that's got to be a good thing for our defense. Must be licking their chops right now.
Well, I don't think you ever lick your chops and say, oh, this is going to be a 3-sack performance, or if you're JPP or whomever. I think it's just about going out there, doing your job, no matter who they line up against you, and just executing. So I'm not going to be overly enthused about who's injured or who's not playing for the Atlanta Falcons as much as I am just optimistic about seeing Matthijs Kiwanuka, you know, speed rush and get a sack fumble. I mean, Matthijs Kiwanuka, speed rusher, seeing the turnover, seeing the Larry Donnell with 4 touchdowns now, and seeing him jump 10 feet up in the air and come down with those balls in the end zone. I mean, so that's more the optimism in terms of what I'm focusing on for this week.
201-939-4513, the phone number to get in. Let's talk about the offensive line. Robert Ayers has only played 48% of the snaps.
Defensive line.
Mm-hmm. 48% of the snaps, where Kiwis played 78%. And Ayers is getting, like, a ton of, from a lot of the analysts, saying that he's really one of the best in the business.
Yeah.
I guess the question mark, that, and I'm getting this on Twitter as well, hashtag Giants Chat, is why aren't we seeing more of him? And do you think that we will see more of him against Atlanta?
I think so. And I think it's not a purposeful, let's keep Ayers' snaps low. Again, you talk about that 48%. And I think a lot of it is just circumstantial. If you look at the games, look at the way the games have played, the Giants have had, you know, that time of possession. And when you don't have a significant lead, in the second quarter. You're going back and forth. You're not able to get into a lot of your sub packages, your obvious passing situations in terms of the defensive side of the football. But I think as this thing plays out, you know, let's look at that. And that's a great stat, Anita. I mean, I'd like to look at that at week 8, week 12, and at the end of the season. I think that 48% jumps up in the 60s. And I think Kiwi's percentage goes down a little bit. And I think a guy like Jamontre Moore's, his reps go up. So it does kind of even out. But that's just an example of where we are at this point of the season.
Apparently, Kim Jones had tweeted that Eli Manning is Mr. October. He's 29-7 in October, winning percentage of 81.1%. His best month, his best of any month. So let's take a look. I want to take a look at the games in October. How much is that? I mean, a lot of it is the opponent, right? I mean, just to show you here, Atlanta, at Philadelphia, at Dallas, and then a bye week. So I mean, the next 3 weeks for Eli Manning. Will he still be Mr. October?
Well, we'll see. I mean, you've got some good secondaries on those teams. You know, Eagles got Jenkins and those guys who came over from New Orleans. I mean, you've got some solid players. But, again, stats are stats, and stats are good to look back in retrospect in terms of what someone's done. It's not like, oh, by the way, it's October. Now let's start lighting up the scoreboard. Let's start airing it out. I mean, it's you know, you look at it week by week, and then you just the stats take care of themselves.
Another tweet here is about Steve Weatherford. As we know, he's got some torn tendons in that ankle. He's still able to punt the ball extremely well, but you're talking about Devin Hester. He is that last line of defense. So concerns there going into this week's game, Roman.
Well, I have to be confident that Steve Weatherford's it's his plant leg, obviously, not his kicking leg, that's gotten better each week since he went down. And secondly, we got into this discussion a few weeks ago that there's 10 other guys that need to get to that returner before that punter gets to it, because there's a huge chance that punter never makes that tackle. I don't care if he's got two healthy ankles, he runs a 4-5. When you're one-on-one with a runner that's already gained about 30, 40 yards momentum, it's hard to stop that. All he's got to do is put one double move and he's gone. So you hope Steve Weatherford can be protected by the other 10 guys on the punt team so that he doesn't have to be the guy who tries to tackle Devin Hester, because that could be 7 points for the Atlanta Falcons.
All right, last question for you before we sign off this afternoon. Odell Beckham Jr., do you feel that he'll stretch the field, even though, let's say, hypothetically speaking, we know he plays on Monday and it's his first game. So do you think that he will immediately get respect from the defenses because he was a first-round draft pick and because of maybe what some of those defensive coordinators saw of him at LSU, where if you do send him on a go route, it'll open things up for Victor Cruz? Do you feel that going into this game, that immense respect immediately, even though he hasn't played one NFL snap, will be there?
I think they know, and coaches and scouts know, that when you see number 13 on the field, he's got some speed. And I think they're going to give him some respect. Now, do you game plan for him? Do you double him? Do you double coverage him right now? Do you put a safety over the top when he's in the game? Absolutely not. But I think as Odell Beckham gets on the field and starts to create some just early successes for himself, long runs, long catches, bombs, deep passes, you know, whatever he can do in the returning game, as that starts to happen, that's when you get the respect. That's when you get people punting the ball away from you like Devin Hester. That's when you get the safety over the top help. Like some of your better receivers in the league. So Odell Beckham hasn't earned the right to be at that position yet. But you say, okay, look, this young kid's got some speed. Let me back up 2 yards because he could double move me and beat me by 2 or 3 steps.
Right.
And with these new pass interference rules, at 4.9 yards, your hands better be off that offensive player or else the yellow flag's coming up.
Right. All right, good stuff. Always fun spending my Wednesday afternoons
with
you.
Yeah, the pleasure's all mine.
Right? And thank you so much for participating in Big Blue Kickoff Live. Tomorrow, you're on with PDOT, right?
Yep.
All right, so Paul Dottino, Roman Oben will be back with you tomorrow, high noon. Make sure you stay tuned to Giants.com. Players will be made available to us, the media, following practice.
Give our Twitter and stuff and follow
okay.
us.
Okay, I'll do that.
Oh, go
okay.
ahead. My bad.
I adore you. So make sure you stay tuned to Giants.com for all that information. And as Roman said, make sure you follow us on Twitter, myself at Anita Marks. Roman is at r_Oben for all your Giants information. If you've got any questions, we'll be happy to respond to you on Twitter. Anything else?
I'm good.
That's it. All right.
Happy Wednesday.
We're going to head out and have some lunch. Hopefully you've enjoyed your lunch hour and have a fantastic rest of the day.